the world of work is changing. We want to make sure that women are enabled to leapfrog into the ICT-enabled sunrise areas of work, and also the green economy and all the other aspects. At the same time, there are certain tendencies that we have to also be careful about. How technology is replacing jobs, is guzzling up jobs, right? Are women going to be affected more by it? How can they avoid being affected by all of that? So all of those questions also need to be addressed and answered in the course of this. And we hope that it will be about pushing the frontier, it will be about accelerating the pace of change. And by 2020, as you said, we need to be able to take stock and say, yes, we made concrete progress in this one particular agenda, which is so transformational.
Most of the people who are here represent various countries around the world. Is the UN Women expecting them to come up with at least a blueprint or at least lay the groundwork for the CSW 61?
The idea of having this multi-stakeholder forum is to do indeed a rehearsal and awareness raising. As we just had a lunch also of some PRs, and they said, well, this is the kicking off of the preparations, really, and getting everyone, you know, engaged and riveted onto this theme and to CSW, and getting a really path-breaking outcome.
When it comes to women in the workplace, it varies from country to country. But in advanced countries, for example, the equal pay for equal work is something that's being fought for very hard. Do you feel that maybe this year might be the year where we might have a breakthrough?
Well, we are certainly pushing the equal pay agenda. Is very, very central to women's economic empowerment and gender equality. You know what you were saying about Planet 50-50 in the world of work. And it is a universal problem. It's not as if the richer countries are doing better than some of the developing countries. So we are going to be launching at the CSW an equal pay coalition, an initiative that will have both a strong advocacy aspect, awareness raising, outrage provoking. You know, the Pope said that it is pure scandal to have this kind of a gender wage gap. So we want more voices to say that and bring cognition, because even people don't realize. It's so, you know, subterranean. At the same time, with the ILO, we will be working in a number of countries to make sure that they become kind of incubators for best practice and achievement of equal pay goals. And there are, of course, several issues around. All of those that I've mentioned are also related to equal pay, including occupational segregation, including women being at the low end of the employment spectrum. Also, it's about minimum wages being raised, because women are at the lower end. If you raise minimum wages, they get elevated as well. This whole thing about recruitment, retention, and promotion. So all of that, and this bias issue, the cultural and social norm and bias issues that somehow a woman is not as good as a man in certain jobs or in all jobs, that also needs to change.
Do the member states agree with UN Women that things have to change and that women need to be included in order for development to happen?
There is propulsion, and I think we had a very, very strong chorus of support around this path-breaking agenda.
And finally, what leverage does UN Women have for the countries that are lagging behind?
Well, what we are trying to do is to support through creating this international normative commitments. That push, that propulsion is created at the global level. Regional level also we work on this. We work also at the national and local levels. You need laws. And we always say you need special measures. Otherwise, it's not going to change. So we work on how to have affirmative action apply to both private sector and public sector. What is also important is how we are advocating. Unless everybody is buying into this, including men and boys, we have a men and boys movement, faith, because sometimes the invocation of family and women's role in the family holds her back from being active in the productive sector. So that's also something that we need to address through our engagement with the faith group, youth. So all of these areas. And then our programmatic work on the ground. We have key flagship programs on women's economic empowerment, including one on procurement, for example, which is a very interesting one because it is about supporting governments and private sector also in gender responsive procurement. You know, that can be transformative in stimulating women suppliers, manufacturers, and vendors. So there are many of these kind of programs on the ground that we will be and we are driving.